Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Muskegon.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy
Sounds like a fun place, though.
Let's see. Where is it? It's in Scott County.
Oh, Lord.
Is that a problem?
That's where the wife's from, so I'll have to ask her what Muskegon's like.
Ask her all about it, yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out this weekend, well, let somebody else do the cooking for you. One of our awesome steakhouses. Or, hey, I'm going to keep it casual. Great burgers all over the place. And that reminds me, this is the final few days that you can nominate your favorite steakhouse and your favorite burger joint in the state of Mississippi to be the best in the state, recognized by the Mississippi Beef Council. Go to the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page, cast your vote there, and I believe it goes through November the 10th. So you have a few days left. If you haven't already, nominate your favorite steakhouse, your favorite burger joint to be named the best in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. So much great stuff at College Corner right now. They just put out a whole new selection with a bunch of interlocking quarter zips and pullovers. These are great for the holidays. Go ahead and get one now. Don't fall behind. Don't be waiting. Don't be thinking about last-minute shipping. Do it now with College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Two locations in the Jackson area, ridden by Fleet Feet or flowed by the Half Shell. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, people who are going to treat you with respect, people who are going to have a relationship with you, not just your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a good show lined up for you. A little later in the show, we will talk to Buck Ballou, former Georgia quarterback, national championship winner, now the host of the Buck Ballou Show on 680 The Fan in the state of Georgia. And, of course, for the first time in the 2025-26 basketball season, it's opening night of that season, we will hear from our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning, future Brian. So that's the setup here, Robbie, is we have to preview this basketball season, but by the time this show airs, there will be a game played. It could go horribly wrong. It could. I don't think it will. It could go bad, but let's just jump right into this basketball team. Here's what I think I know. I hate to step on Paul Jones's gimmick here, but I'm going to tell you some things I think I know about this. There's one thing I do know. I know that Josh Hubbard is one of the top scoring guards in all of college basketball. He improved from year one to year two. If he improves from year two to year three, you're talking about a guy who is consistently, night in, night out, going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer for Mississippi State. I think I know that Jaden Epps is going to be a good partner for him in the backcourt. I think I know that Epps is going to be a guy who can give Mississippi State double digits, scoring most nights, can run the offense, and give Hubbard some protection back there in the backcourt. And I think I know that Quincy Ballard is going to provide the interior defense that Mississippi State sorely lacked last season. State was a team that you could attack at the rim, and as a result, they had to double-team, which left them open in the perimeter. And that was the genesis of almost every defensive issue State had a season ago. Ballard becomes a little bit more of an eraser, which you had when you had Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell down there. I feel confident in his ability to protect the paint and he can also give you some points and rebounds on the other end as well. That's what I know, and I think I know, Robbie. What we don't know about this team is, I think, Amir Ali, Achiuwa, those are your problems. Sean Jones will probably start tonight. But Ali and Achiuwa, where you'd like to end up, that's where I don't know.
The people I talk to are a little concerned about the four position, and what happens there. I think that you have obviously a really good shooter in Amir Ali too, like you mentioned. I think that there's a lot that he can do for you, but from what I hear from people around the program is he's got to become a better defender and be more intentional on the defensive end. And that's been something. There's been a guy or two every single year.
More intentional. Did you talk to Coach Lebby about him?
Well, I mean, what else do you want me to say? How else do you want me to explain it? He's got to go out there whenever he's on the floor and understand that he has to do more than just shoot the ball. And there's been a guy or two every single year that Chris Jan struggles getting to do that. Now, if he can do that, he could be a dark horse guy for Mississippi State that's not being talked about enough at this point. So that's a big part of things. What do they do whenever Quincy Ballard is out of the ball game defensively? Do they have a low post defender that can at least kind of bridge the gap before he comes back in? Or are they going to double the post a little more? They've shown that they'll do that. They're not afraid to do that. When the ball goes to the post, you're doubling the post. It obviously frees up a man on the outside, and that's something that you trade out. But that's something that they'll probably have to do more of when Ballard's out of the ball game. Someone helping from the outside, going down the post and defending. But I have question marks there. What's it look like when Quincy Ballard's out of the game? I have question marks at the power forward position. How good can a Achiuwa be on both ends of the court? I have questions with Amir Ali and what does he look like defensively, because I feel like he can help Mississippi State with what he does shooting the basketball. But I'm really excited about the guard positions. I'm excited about the growth that guys have made from last year to this year. Sean Jones, I think, has taken a step forward. I think Delquan Warren has taken a step forward. He can help Mississippi State and give them some good minutes. I'm really excited about the freshmen that they have, with King Grace and Jamar and Cameron Paul. I think those guys are going to be able to help you this year more than how freshmen have been able to help in years past. So there's a lot of things that I'm just really intrigued about. I don't know what this team's ceiling is. I don't know what the floor is. It really is going to be one of those things. Like on Wednesday, I think we will find out some things about them. We might not know a lot about this team for, a week or two until they start playing better competition. But there's obviously some intriguing things about them that I think could provide a really exciting season. But there's some questions that have to be answered.
And they've got a couple of freshmen that you would like to see help in the post just to provide some minutes, but I don't know if they will. And that's Jamarian Davis Fleming and T. Bartlett. I think Bartlett getting here late delayed things. If he had been here on time, maybe could have gotten him in a little bit better condition. Could have been a guy that you could have gotten, 7, 8 minutes a game out of. I don't know if that's going to be the case now. When I talked to Isaac Trotter last week, he made it sound like when Ballard's out of the game, they would feel like they could maybe put a chore at that five position, and they could feel confident there. He's played that kind of big man role before, but man, it would go a long way if one of those two true freshmen could step up and be that guy who comes in when Ballard is not in there in the
And
back.
Jamar, I think, is going to help. He's a guy that is kind of a rim protector type player. I think he's going to be a really good defender. He's a good shot blocker. He should give them some good minutes back there. I think Achiuwa could probably slide down and be. He's not going to be Quincy Ballard on the defensive end. But like I said, this is when you're going to have everybody kind of crashing to the ball, defensively. And Chris Jans has not been afraid to do that. He hadn't been afraid to double the post, to double guys, to create some issues on that end of the floor. But I think they would like to be able to just man up with Quincy Ballard and whoever's backing him up. I don't know if they'll be able to do that.
In the backcourt, you kind of nailed it. I feel really good about that group. We mentioned we all know about Hubbard. We mentioned Epps. Jabari McGee is a guy who I think if State wants to play small and fast and they want to go Hubbard, Epps, and McGee, that's a really good threesome there that can get up and down the court, can shoot the three, can provide a lot of tempo in this offense. I think we can't underestimate in the early part of the season is the influence of a guy like Shawn Jones, who plays defense, who can give you some buckets every now and then, who can attack the basket. He'll start for sure. Future Brian will let us know. He'll probably start tonight. Like tonight's starting lineup is probably Epps, Hubbard, Jones, Achor, Ballard, if I had to guess. And
That
then, you know,
seems like it'd probably be correct.
yeah, and then you'll see what the rotations look like coming off the bench. Guy we haven't talked too much about is the European Sergei Makara from Slovenia, played in Serbia. I'm interested to see what he looks like because he's played a higher level of basketball than these guys have played normally when they're newcomers, right? A high school kid versus these European leagues. There's no comparison to that. He might be a guy who's battle tested and ready to come in and give State, a little boost. He's 6'9", so he can play down low. But obviously, maybe it's just a stereotype, but I see a 6'9" Slovenian. I just am going to assume he can shoot threes. And so State has
At the
missed.
very least, have a mid-range
Have a
game, you
mid-range
know.
game. And State missed that last year. They didn't have a guy at the four who could step out. Keyshawn Murphy was that from time to time, but his outside shot was inconsistent as best. If they can get that four, you mentioned it early, if the four position can come through for Mississippi State, they can be a little weak at the three with Ali or whoever's there and get through it, right? I don't expect all five starters to play at an all SEC level. But I gotta have, Hubbard is his Hubbard. Epps needs to be Epps. Ballard needs to be Ballard. And then if Achor can be more of what he was at Samford and less of what he was in that short stint at Kansas State, this team should be fine. The tournament should be no issue to them, and they should be a team that competes to be in the top half of the SEC.
I think the biggest thing is that they have capable scorers, but this is going to be more of a Chris Jans team than what we were accustomed to last year. I think,
Agreed.
like, I think that has been the biggest message I've gotten from people that have watched this team practice a lot and have been around the players. They are going to be more gritty, more grimy on the defensive end, than they have been last year. And that's what I think people kind of want to get back to. And at the same time, I think they're still going to be able to score points. They might not have the potential for more high-end scoring like they did last year when you had, the opportunity from time to time again to have somebody like Claudell Harris go off or, Josh Hubbard, obviously, and guys like that. But I do think that you have two really good scorers at the guard position. I think Shawn Jones has expanded his game a little more. You're not asking him to come out there and jack up a lot of
I
threes or
don't need
anything like
15
that.
a game from Shawn Jones.
No, but you have, Achor can step out and hit threes. Amir Ali is probably one of their best shooters. So you have plenty of scorers out there. It's not like you're looking at that team from 4 years ago where nobody could hit the broad side of the barn, and you just got to pray that you hold somebody to 40-something points so you can win an SEC game. I don't think that's the case, but I do think that you have a team capable of stringing together a lot of defensive stops, forcing turnovers, and blocking shots and rebounding. That's the biggest thing to me. There's a couple of roles that have to get worked out, especially at the four, but I do think that they have enough pieces and are going to have a little bit more of that identity that Chris Jans is looking for in this team this year. So that's the biggest thing. But it's how quickly can Chris Jans get this group playing on the same page is the biggest thing for Mississippi State. He's got to get them, everybody into their roles, everybody understanding what they're doing. That's been an issue for him, especially the last 2 years. Getting everybody to understand their role and to play it to perfection. He's had for I think 3 years in a row, he's had a guy that's basically ended up entering the transfer portal,
Bailed.
or
Yeah.
like I, you know, the Kanye Clary thing was kind of weird. I think there was an injury there, but I think there's probably something to him sitting out too. You've got to have everybody on the same page, pushing for that common goal of winning games as many as you can in the SEC, getting the tournament, and winning a game or two in the tournament. That's the goal this year for Mississippi State, and they've got to get everybody on the same page as quickly as possible here.
Quick, you mentioned, playing better teams. That starts next week. Monday they got to go to Sioux Falls to play Iowa State. That's going to be a team that's a game that should be quad one throughout the season. And in case you're listening right now, yes, we are back into quad talk. We will be talking about quads a lot over the next few months. So just go ahead and brace yourself for that. Familiarize yourself with it. We did. We got better at it, and here we are. When I look at this team, I'm trying to find if we do. Talking like an X factor kind of thing. I think it may be the European. It may be Achiuwa. It may be Ali. That's the thing. I feel like this is a really high ceiling team, but I also feel like the floor is relatively high as well. Just because Hubbard, Ballard, and Epps are good enough to win you a lot of games, it's just about how these other guys, as you mentioned, find their role and do their job. That's how high this team can go. So will they be in the tournament at the end of the year? Yeah, I would bet a lot of money on that. But are they a 4 or 5 seed this time of year? Well, that's going to depend on these people that we've mentioned. So the journey starts tonight for the Bulldogs. An 8 o'clock tip against, or say tonight. It started last night for the Bulldogs with an 8 o'clock tip. So on that note, for the first time this academic year, let's bring him in. Our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning. Let's go now. To Future Brian. Thank you, gentlemen. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. You almost did it. You too, you nearly did it. But in the end, you're okay. It's going to be all right. Final score from the Humphrey Coliseum, Mississippi State wins 86 to 62. That's a 24-point margin. The line was 24 and a half. And when I tell you that there were students on one side yelling, shoot, shoot, when State had the ball in the final seconds, and then another group of students saying, no, it was 100, that's 100% accurate. As Vegas once again proves why those buildings are so opulent out there. Not a great start by Mississippi State, only led by one at the half, trailed by as many as nine in the second half. But from the time it was 51-42 with North Alabama in the lead, the Bulldogs finish on a 44-11 run. Only two dogs in double figures, and you can guess one of them, Josh Hubbard. 27 points for him, 7 of 16 shooting. He also had 8 assists, no turnovers. State with only 7 turnovers as a team tonight. After the game, Jan said, I'll take 7 turnovers in every game I coach for the rest of my career. And then Jabari McGee off the bench, 14 points on 4 of 10 shooting for him. He was a good spark plug for State tonight. State out rebounds UNA by 17. If I came into this game, if I had told you an hour before tip, pick who you think State's leading rebounder would be, I guarantee you would not have picked the correct guy. I guarantee it. But it was Sergei Makara, 12 rebounds for the Slovenian. 7 points. He missed two dunks. He's 6'9". Nice. He's 6'9", and he missed two dunks. After the game, he just said, I won't, it won't happen again. He said, I don't normally miss dunks. For State, 8 points, 7 rebounds for Quincy Ballard, 7 points, 9 rebounds for Sean Jones Jr., 7 points for Makara to go with those 12 boards. I thought Jamarian Davis Fleming was impressive. 19 minutes for him, 5 points, 3 rebounds. King Grace had a couple of nice buckets, the true freshman. State, and Jans talked about this after the game. He had a plan for substitutions, which he says he normally wouldn't do, but he wanted to try some different things out, wanted to get some guys some minutes to see what they look like. I expect the rotation to be a lot more structured, a lot more rigid when they play Iowa State. But they played 11 guys tonight. Just trying some things out. You're talking about in terms of double-digit minutes. 10 of those players had double-digit minutes. Only Brant. All right, we got to have this discussion here. We all knew Brandon Walker was on this team, right? I can't stop laughing. Every time I say Brandon Walker, I laugh. Like Brandon Walker scored. It's like, and I say Brandon Walker. I can't just call him Walker. I can't do it. It's going to be a struggle for me all year with Brandon Walker. But he played 6 minutes, 10 minutes for Delquan Warren, who I thought was pretty good. He had 5 points tonight. Did have four fouls. He's a little loose with that. And then, 13 minutes for King Grace, 15 for Jaden Epps. After the game on the radio interview, Jans revealed that Epps had been in the concussion protocol and hadn't practiced for a few days. He was very rusty. I think he had four shots blocked tonight. He was 2 of 7 shooting. I expect a lot better from him. Achor, 2 points, no, only 2 points, but 8 rebounds for him. As I said, State very dominant on the board. They took care of the basketball. They didn't shoot particularly well, 44%, 30% from behind the arc, but they hold North Alabama to 37% shooting from both behind the arc and overall. Not a great free throw shooting night for the Dogs either, 16 to 24. At this point, it just is what it is, right? We're 4 years into this. Just not going to be a good free throw shooting team. Just go ahead. I'm telling you, game one, just go ahead and brace yourself for the rest of the year. State will lose a game because they can't shoot the free throws. Just go ahead and prepare yourself for it. Yeah, with what was the time for them to have the lead at 51-42? So at the 16-minute mark, 16:03, UNA hits an and-one free throw to push the lead to 51-42. So coming out of the locker room, they got on a 50, 30, 37. So that's a 14-5 run. Get the lead. And from there, State, 3-pointer from Sean Jones. Hubbard hits a free throw. McGee with a layup. 3-pointer from Hubbard, and then it's tied. And from there, State just goes on to dominate the last part of the game. Hubbard looked like his old self, but in some ways, but in other ways, he didn't. He looked like a more explosive player, had a little more speed, a little more burst to the basket. I thought he ran the offense well. Those 8 assists to no turnovers was a good stat. He found Quincy Ballard for, I think, 3 wide-open dunks in the paint. I mean, he's just one of the best players in college basketball. And then McGee, I think McGee could force his way into the starting lineup sooner rather than later. He looked really good. He looked the part, had great quickness, hands were active on defense, had a couple of steals, just looked like a quality player. And he hit some big shots for Mississippi State. He was a big spark in why they were able to regain the lead and push it back out and close it at this margin of victory. So, final score from the Hump, 86-62. Let's move in to the rest of the show. That's brought to you by your friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother over in the Cotton District. A great place to eat. If it were open at 11 o'clock at night, I would go there right now. I could go for it's still Wing Wednesday, technically. Technically, it's still Wing Wednesday, but they're not serving food right now. But that's fine. I'll go by there another time and grab some fantastic smoked Southern soul food. I always say the same thing about Two Brothers. The menu is, it's one of the few places in Starkville I don't have a usual. I change it up when I go to Two Brothers because there's just so much good stuff on the menu. This weekend, if you're going to be in town, you know the Cotton District is the place to be. Head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Oh, I don't have it. Hold on. Hold, please. I gotta find it. Hold on. Hold on, guys. I gotta find it. All right, here we go. It's in the outro spot. I'll get there. Calm down. You're all getting upset right now. Just calm down. And almost there. Almost there. There it is. Okay. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Expected, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copy or a new printer, something like that. It's been a while since Future Brian's been on, guys. You got to give him some credit. whatever you're looking for, they've got it at Advantage Business Systems. But most of all, what they've got is great service after the sale. You know that if you have a problem, if something goes wrong, you can call them back, and they're going to get out there a lot of times the exact same day because they are in Mississippi just like you. They know how to take care of their customers. That's why they've been in business for as long as they have. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville and you're looking for MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection in all of Starkville. They've got everything you're looking for, maroon and white. Everything, interlocking, state script, M over S, it's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. You know, if you're coming up for the game this weekend, you just know you're going to be making a trip there. Hey, look, the holidays are almost here. It's time to start doing your Christmas shopping. Do it at Maroon & Co. for the Bulldog fan in your life. And use our promo code. We're like Santa's little elf here, saving you a little money. 15% off with the code THUNDER15. Before you go to your next game at Davis-Wade Stadium, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. We will be at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, Sports Talk Mississippi will be, and Thunder and Lightning live 2 weeks from yesterday, as you're listening. July. It's definitely not that. November the 19th, we will be at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, Saltillo. We hope to see you come by, and we hope to see you make a purchase of a John Deere mower. They're going to have some great deals. The holidays are here. They want to get you in a John Deere mower this holiday season, so their credit department is working overtime. A little Christmas magic. Come check them out at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Guys, I can't stress enough. If you've never been to Scruggs, it's going to blow your mind when you first walk in the door. So come check them out. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know this name, Good Hope Land and Timber. They specialize in helping landowners like you make smart, sustainable decisions. Doesn't matter how many acres you have, 100 acres or a few thousand acres, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you do it all safely, efficiently, and sustainably. What are you planning right now? Your final harvest? Are you thinning out a stand? Or are you just managing your forest for the long term? Good Hope Land and Timber is here to maximize your return and protect your land. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. All right, let's get back to the guys. But before we do that, I already know, because I'm in the future, I know that Brian did not tell you that the interview with Buck Ballou is brought to you by Allura Modern Wellness. I think that Brian is going to have to make a trip to Allura Modern Wellness pretty soon. His back is bothering him. Time for some cryotherapy. Get the I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to understand the science of recovery. I leave that to the experts like Rich Lopez over at Allura Modern Wellness. What I know is that when I walk in the door, I don't feel great, but when I walk out, I feel a heck of a lot better, and that's the promise they're going to make to you as well. Check out their website, AlluraModernWellness.com, to find out more, and you can book your services right there on the website. If you're feeling down, if you need to recover, Allura Modern Wellness. Let's get back to the studio to present-day Brian and Robbie. I'm gonna lean that future Brian delivered good news. I'm gonna lean that way. Tonight.
It would be very, very, very bad if they lost to North Alabama. So yeah, let's just hope.
All right. Let's move into our interview now. Let's go back to football. Earlier this week, I talked to Buck Ballou, former national championship winning quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs, host of the Buck Ballou Show on 680 The Fan in the great state of Georgia. Let's talk to him now and get his thoughts on this game, but more importantly, at the end of the interview, his thoughts on MSU legend John Bond. We don't have a lot of national champions join us here on Thunder and Lightning, but when we get that opportunity, we take full advantage of it. Buck Ballou joins us now, host of the Buck Ballou Show on 680 The Fan, and of course, won a national title with the Georgia Bulldogs as quarterback back in 1980. I'm old enough to have been around for that one, Buck, so you know we're on the same page at least there.
Yeah, it seems like yesterday.
I bet it does. Let's talk about this Georgia team. I would say from 2021 to 2023, those were great Georgia teams. Some of the best program in the country, no question about it. The last 2 years, they've been really, really good, but I wouldn't say they've been great. What is the difference between this Georgia team and that 21, 22, 23 team, if you could boil it down to maybe just one or two things?
Well, I would say Kirby Smart right now, in his 10th year, So a decade running this Bulldog program. This is the youngest team Kirby's ever had. 55% of the team are first and second year players. So that is the biggest difference in what they have compared to those national championship teams. They had a lot of experience, a lot of big time players. Look, they've recruited as well as any team in the country. So the talent is still there. But in 2025, there's a lot of young talent, and they're playing a lot of this young talent. Defensive line, they're rolling a lot of these redshirt sophomores, rolling a lot of people in on the defensive line. Same way on the offensive line. So mainly on the line of scrimmage, you're seeing a lot of these young players having to play this season.
Is that a situation where if they maintain these guys and they can keep them out of the portal, 26, 27, 28 could be another cycle where Georgia is clearly the best team in the country?
Well, they've got a chance to be that. Look, these young guys that are playing are very impressive. But look, this is the SEC, right? So elite competition. You're facing a lot of big-time programs, big-time players. And so there's been a little bit of a learning curve going on with these young Bulldogs. But, you know, they've picked it up here. We're heading into the second half of the year. And so you got to elevate your play. When you hit November, you got to be playing your best football.
No question. This is a game a year ago that Mississippi State, as bad as that team was, offensively they were good in this game. Van Buren threw for over 300 yards. They hit some big plays against that Georgia secondary. In the end, they just couldn't get enough stops, and that team defensively was a train wreck a year ago. What was it about that game that you, if you remember, why was State able to have some success against Georgia in that one?
Well, you know, I'm just really, really impressed with Coach Lebby and the system offensively that he's running. And Kirby at his press conference, Coach Smart yesterday was speaking on this. What a great job they do running the football, incorporating the passing game, getting players, playmakers in space and getting them the football. Look, he was busy complimenting Chapin and the job that he does at quarterback. A lot of good decisions. He can spin it. He can extend some plays. And then did some bragging on Anthony Evans, formerly of the Georgia Bulldog program. But Kirby was very complimentary of him improving since he got to Starkville. Versatile playmaker, running some good routes, catching the football. Looks like a guy that's really elevated his play since he left Athens. So, look, I just think the scheme, the system that Coach Lebby's running gets a lot of respect around the league and including what Kirby Smart believes.
So when I look at this Georgia team, I like Gunnar Stockton a lot. I think he's a really good college quarterback. He's efficient. He doesn't give the ball away, which I know is a hallmark of Kirby Smart's teams. I don't think you can play for Kirby Smart for very long if you're a guy who gives the ball away. Is there another level to his game? Can he be a guy that, if the running game isn't working, could come out, throw for 400 yards, and be a quarterback who carries a team to victory?
Yeah, I look at Gunner as a guy that does everything well for a quarterback. There's nothing that he doesn't do well. Maybe nothing great, elite, but everything that he does extremely well. Can he carry the team? Remains to be seen about that. I don't know. He's not a guy that really is caught up in, the stats and the attention and the glory. He's just a dadgum good football player. You know, he's a guy that everybody on the team respects. He's a winner. You know, he wants to win in the worst way. And so those intangibles are hard to come by in this day and time. I totally respect the young man and the job that he does. Look, a year ago, it was Carson Beck, who seemingly was on the other side of the spectrum, you know, driving his Lambo around campus. And, you know, he was into the glitz and the glamour and flaunted the money that he was bringing in. That didn't go well, as far as the team goes. These guys totally love Gunnar Stockton. And look, there have been a lot of great high school quarterbacks in the state of Georgia. And he broke every one of these records. Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. You look at any of these guys and what they did at the high school level. Gunnar Stockton, eclipsed all those great quarterbacks. So, look, it might not grab your attention with, the way he plays, but this is an excellent quarterback.
If you had told me before the season that we would get to week 9, week 10, whatever week we're in, and Georgia, of all teams, would be last in the SEC in sacks four, I don't know that I would have believed you. Now, this Mississippi State team, their weakness all year has been protecting the quarterback. If you look at every week, they give up a lot of pressure. So it's kind of a something's got to give moment here. What side of the ball has the advantage here? Do you think State can protect Shapen, or is Georgia finally going to break through and have a big day on defense getting after the passer?
Yeah, I don't know if they're just going to wake up and suddenly be able to come off the edge. And that's been the problem. Look, it was set up to be Damon Wilson's year to be the pass rusher, the edge rusher. He's wearing that Missouri uniform right now and leading the Missouri Tigers in sacks. So that transfer portal did some damage as far as this Georgia pass rush goes. It's been disappointing, really, the pressure that they've been unable to bring off the edge. They've had to blitz these off the ball inside linebackers. Look, you're not going to see a better pair of off the ball inside linebackers than CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson. CJ Allen, to me, is a bona fide first team All-American player that you're going to see at linebacker for Georgia. Raylan Wilson, just a half step behind him. When they've needed to get pressure on the quarterback, they've had to bring these backers and get after the quarterback in that way. But it's been a disappointment coming off the edge.
And from Georgia, from a pass defense standpoint, just kind of middle of the pack of the conference. And as I mentioned a year ago, State was able to hit some big plays. Is that what this game is going to come down to? Georgia's ability to limit State in their big plays that they can get?
Well, and that's a concern coming into this game. Georgia, their best safety, KJ Bolden, will miss the first half with a targeting penalty last week against Florida. Their starting free safety is injured. He's not playing right now. So they're relying on backup players at the safety position. And typically, you expect those guys to be the ones playing center field, preventing these big plays. Georgia, with an outstanding cornerback in Dalen Everett. He's an all-SEC caliber, NFL skill set cornerback. The other side has been a work in progress. Right now, Ellis Robinson, one of the most highly recruited DBs in the country, is a young player. He's developing and coming on. But there's some problems in the secondary. I would say that's a big concern for Georgia coming into this matchup.
It's odd to see Georgia not have just a dominant running back. You might know a thing or two about a dominant running back when playing at the University of Georgia, but that's always been tailback you, in my opinion, in the SEC. They have good running backs. Bowens is very good. Frazier is very good. Is one of those guys capable of becoming like the next great Georgia running back?
Kirby, his system, really his philosophy, in this day and time was we're gonna it's going to be a running back by they're gonna play a multiple running backs. That's just the way they're gonna do it. There's not gonna be one guy getting 25, 30 carries in a game. You're gonna see these guys with different roles. Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens are the featured backs. So you'll see them getting a lot of carries. McCray, the transfer from Illinois, is a short yardage goal line back, 240 pounds. So he'll be getting the ball in that situation. The third down back is Cash Jones, good receiver, good in pass protection, can run the ball. So he fits that role. Kirby's about playing multiple running backs. So I don't think you're going to see one guy just go out and dominate. Frazier and Bowens have really come on strong here at the end of the year to provide that tandem that they're going with first and second down.
So on the podcast on Fridays when we do our final show before the weekend, we always predict what we call an X factor. It's a guy who's maybe he's not going to have 300 yards passer. He's not going to have, four sacks or anything like that. Just somebody within the game who could make a play that makes the big difference. Who would that player be for Georgia this week?
Well, Zachariah Branch, the slot receiver, transferred in from Southern Cal, and he's been their most dangerous receiver. The two tight ends, Delp and Lucky, have probably been the two most valuable players outside of Gunnar Stockton on this offense. They block, they help run. Georgia run the football with their blocking. They're excellent receivers. Didn't really show up a lot in the Florida game, but they are really dynamic. Pair there. Look, Colby Young was their leading receiver at the X wide receiver spot. He's gone down with a leg injury. He's out for the season. So keep an eye on Noah Thomas, the transfer from Texas A&M, had a touchdown catch in Jacksonville against the Gators. They really need him to elevate. So those are some of the guys that could be a big factor in this game.
All right, before I get you out of here, we're going to have to go a little off track here. So you're from Valdosta, Georgia. My all-time favorite Mississippi State Bulldog is from Valdosta, John Bond. Do you have a John Bond story? Do you have any time that you spent with him that you could that's suitable for a family program?
Well, John Bond is a lifelong friend. John moved to Valdosta. Gosh, he had to be around 9 years old and moved in by chance, just three doors down from our home in our neighborhood in Valdosta. So we've been friends ever since he moved in. He is a brother. I just love John. And I think that one of the better stories I've got on Bond was in 1980 when we won the national championship. We had a big win over South Carolina. And that same weekend, Mississippi State beat Alabama. And we had a home game. And so we're out after the ball game out around town and we're talking about John and the great job Mississippi State did that day, beating Alabama 6-3, and lo and behold, I looked up, and there was John. There was John Bond walking up to the group, and I thought, my goodness, did you hop in the Corvette and make the trip all the way to Athens? And that's exactly what he did. We were all stunned to see him, but it was great to see him because we're all loving on him for taking down Alabama that day, one of the great wins in Mississippi State history.
He was probably driving that thing like the bandit to going from one state to the other. That's incredible.
The other story I've got, though, I need to tell, though, is I signed with Georgia, and then the next year, our quarterback, John Lastinger, signed with Georgia. And then the next year, John Bond was the quarterback, and Coach Vince Dooley came to Athens for his in-home visit with Bond, and he told John, "Look, we want to put 40 pounds on you and make you a defensive end." And at that point, John got up and left the house, got in his car and drove on off, and left his dad there sitting with Vince Dooley. Flash forward a couple of years later, Georgia's in Starkville playing Mississippi State, and Bond breaks off a 50-yard run. And he gets knocked out of bounds on the Georgia sideline. And he looks up, and there's Vince Dooley standing right next to him on the sideline. And Bond said to Coach Dooley, he said, "Defensive end, huh, Coach?" And laughed and ran on back to the huddle.
What a great
Look,
story.
yeah, just love him. And when I think of Mississippi State, I always think of John Bond.
That's a great story. Buck, really appreciate your time. Buck Ballew, the Buck Ballew Show on 680 The Fan, there in this great state of Georgia, man. Appreciate you. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
When I was doing a little research for this interview, and I'm sure you know this already, but my mind was blown when I found out that Georgia is dead last in the SEC in sacks.
Are they really? I haven't
You
really
didn't know
dug
that.
in just yet.
They have 8 sacks on the season as a team.
Really?
Georgia.
Yeah, it's really kind
Come
of
on.
strange. This isn't when I watch Georgia play. This isn't the Georgia team that we've gotten used to under Kirby Smart, where
Right.
they're just, dominant on the defensive end. The running game is good. The offense has been really solid this year, actually, under Mike Bobo. But I look at them and I don't really see national championship team, and they just keep winning games. Like, that's the biggest thing that's stood out to me about this Georgia team is while they might not be dominant every single week, like we've seen some of their teams, they're just winners. They have a culture right now where they just know how to win, and they still have a ton of five stars and four stars on their roster.
This is a really good football team. I don't know if it's a great football team. Like, I don't think this Georgia team's winning the national title.
But
But
they also, to me, they don't look as volatile as they were last year.
agreed. Yeah, last
Last year's team, I was like, I just don't like, there's something weird about them that I don't see that with this team. Like, I could see this team competing for a national title.
think it's Stockton. I think Stockton's just more
He's just a
consistent than
steady
the rest of
guy.
the team.
It's a steady quarterback. They're just
What
kind of just getting the job done.
a steady quarterback is what won them a national title. Is
Yeah.
Bennett was never spectacular, but he was steady. And maybe next year with this team, and if you listen to, when you listen to the interview, Buck talks about how young this Georgia team is. They are playing. This is the youngest team Kirby's ever had. So next year they're probably going to be a real threat if they keep everybody together. So we'll see how that goes. But big game for State on Friday. Or sorry, on Saturday. On Friday, obviously, we will dive completely into this game, Mississippi State and Georgia, when we do the three P's on the Friday podcast, which will be tomorrow. So we'll talk to you again very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.